can't see across the street. How are we supposed to have a show like this? God, this weather is insane. I don't know where you are right now, but the smoke in Wenatchee is pretty oppressive. Torpid weather, I would call it. Oppressive and torpid. There you go. Let's take a look at our show this afternoon. Please consider this. A woman in the uniform of the Chelan County Sheriff's Department, seemingly countered at every turn by the ruling power of that department and the others. The seriousness of the accusations and the myth or the fact of the thin blue line all called into question today. If you were to ask Jennifer Tyler for the details of her long and convoluted story, what would you hear? Well, you're about to find out. Every story has two sides or more. However, this story may have as many sides as a Rubik's Cube. The story you hear and see depends on which facet of the cube is facing you. Now, some jobs have a power structure unique to the work that the employee performs, but none more particular to the workplace than being in law enforcement. None with that old-school reputation like that of a peace officer for industry-wide reticence and reserve when revealing or not revealing under scrutiny the details of the work they do and the way they do it. So let's see if we can arrive at our own conclusions after hearing the latest from our very special guest that we meet now, Chelan County Deputy Jennifer Tyler. Welcome to the show, Jennifer. Deputy, how are you today?
I am great. Thank you for having me.
I'm worried about our story today because it's a long one, and I want to make sure we get all the details in. So let's go quickly now. It's 2006, and you're a deputy here in Wenatchee, right?
Yes. I moved 2,000 miles from Oklahoma to Chelan County in 2006, where I began my employment with Chelan County Sheriff's Department as a deputy.
And while you were in Oklahoma, you were part of a case that turned into a trial.
That case did not exist until after 2 years of coming here.
So it still concerned your previous sheriff?
Yes. 2 years after coming here to Chelan County as a sheriff's deputy, trucking along just fine, enjoying life, enjoying our beautiful community, I got a phone call in 2008 from the Oklahoma Bureau of Investigations concerning a previous sheriff that I had worked for.
And why were the state police looking into your previous boss?
They were looking to obtain a search warrant for his home. From information that they had received looking for evidence to tie him into what ended up being over 130 counts of felony accusations.
And this man right now is where?
He's in prison serving out a 79-year sentence.
79 years. So he was a bad man.
That's what they say.
He is a criminal,
yes.
in every sense of the word, besides being sheriff in Oklahoma.
He was proven so in a jury trial, yes.
Now, what blue line or line of that's not drawn anywhere in the world except in the minds of police officers, what blue line did you cross when you testified against your previous boss, no matter what kind of an animal he might have been?
Well, initially, when I was asked for cooperation, I wasn't asked to testify. I was just asked to help obtain a search warrant. Evidence was obtained in that search warrant, which was later lost mysteriously prior to trial. That evidence was a police flashlight that had the DNA of a female victim on it that he had used to rectally rape her. When the investigators called me back, they started asking how I knew about some of the details that I'd helped them get the search warrant to retrieve that flashlight. They then discovered that certain things that had transpired between me and the sheriff constituted sexual battery and was still within the statute of limitations for me to be a victim.
And you testified against him, even though you didn't want to, or did you want to?
No, reluctantly, I wanted no part of it. I was enjoying the life that I had here. There were some agreements between me and the prosecutors in Oklahoma and with the media that under two different agreements would be, one, that they don't mention where I currently work, which was Chelan County, and two, that I wanted no part of the civil lawsuit, which resulted in $10 million award, and I took no part of that lawsuit.
Because you were a victim, you would have been entitled to $1.2 million.
Each victim received $1.2 million, yes.
And you got nothing.
I didn't want anything.
Right.
I cooperated because it was the right thing to do. I knew the risks that I was taking. I alerted my on-duty sergeant
here
because I had to take time off,
right,
to go to Oklahoma. I testified in two trials, and while away at one of the trials, I received a phone call from one of my squad mates on the department. He said he was listening to Sirius Radio and heard about the trial in Oklahoma, it made national, if not worldwide, news. It was a pretty spectacular event.
How did your job change when you came back from testifying?
Night and day.
Night and day. Just because you testified against your previous boss.
You'd have to ask them. That was the testimony at trial, at my trial, at my civil trial. That was kind of the way things looked through my evaluations, where they mentioned the trial multiple times. You know, one of the deputies that testified at trial said they were afraid that you'd take their houses. You know,
That you would ask for a settlement that would result in them selling their homes.
That I might complain on them as well.
Yeah.
If I would complain on one, would I complain on another?
And is that a real fear among police officers, that if someone testifies in a situation like this, that he or she would testify against any of them at any time?
That was a real fear in my situation, yes, Michael.
Realistic?
Yes.
So the next step was what? Increasing pressure at work?
You know, I did my best to try to alleviate concerns or worries. You know, once I realized that amongst the ranks they knew about the trial, you know, I tried to just make it known.
Did any of your superior officers ever have a talking with you, a serious talk, when you came back from the trial?
There were several conversations that took place. You know, some things that I can discuss if they were part of testimony at trial, because that's public information. Some things I can't discuss because right. department policy prohibits certain things. And so out of fear of, you know, being the target once again, I've endured 7 internal investigations. There are deputies who testified and other employees who testified their longevity here of 30 plus years, and they've never heard of that amount of internal investigations for one employee.
Each investigation was based on what?
Well, the last internal investigation, which was my 7th, was based on and was part of testimony at trial, was based on that I allegedly made defamatory statements against our search and rescue team by saying that they have secret barbecues. And if found guilty of making those statements, they would have been untruthful and I could have been terminated.
But you were not.
The investigation was found that... that the allegations were not sustained.
You've had to defend yourself legally against this, or you've chosen to. What led you to go in that direction, knowing what the outcome might be?
Well, the initial legal battle, I was terminated in 2010 for allegations of dishonesty, teamwork and cooperation, and something else. I can't recall.
Were those allegations proven?
One allegation of untruthfulness was sustained at arbitration. To back up a little bit, when the original termination occurred, I applied for unemployment. I received the full 18 months benefits of unemployment because even an unemployment investigator couldn't find wrongdoing. I also tested while I was off that 30 months. I tested for State Patrol and took a polygraph. I passed the State Patrol polygraph. You know, I knew in my heart that I hadn't done what they were saying that I had done, and I knew that I could prove it. When then Sheriff Harum was looking at this internal investigation, before he terminated me, he offered me a year's severance package and a letter of recommendation to go someplace else.
Just go.
And I said, no, why should I go? I've not done anything wrong to be terminated for. I brought my family 2,000 miles. I love Chelan County. My daughter goes to school here. You know, we are embedded here. And, you know, I signed on to stand up for justice. Not just justice for you, Michael, but justice for myself. And if I won't even stand up for myself, how can you trust that I would stand up for you if I can't even stand up for myself?
It's not common for someone to sue the actual the sheriff's department, is it? From within.
Specifically, while you're still working there, no. And what's even not so common is to do it in your own backyard. You know, I had options of where to file my civil trial. My attorneys thought I was crazy for filing it in Douglas County, and they were rightfully so concerned at whether or not we would win. It wasn't important really for me necessarily to win. It was important for me to tell my story, to tell what had happened. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about revenge. You know, I believe that situations can either make you bitter or they can make you better. I've become better, and I want to continue to become better, better serving my community by saying, I'm not afraid for you to look at me. I'm not afraid for you to look at my story. It's now a part of court record, 7 days of testimony, 7 days of court record to a Douglas County juror who was our neighbors right next door, and they agreed with me. And I asked for the $3,000 in back pay that I was owed for shift differential, and they doubled that to six. And they awarded me $300,000 for the treatment that Sheriff Burnett at his hand was given, and $200,000 for what Mike Harum did to illegally terminate me. How can you ignore that? You know, our neighbors next door heard it. This wasn't in King County. This wasn't in Grant County. This wasn't someplace far off. This was in my own backyard. The courage that it took to do that, it's the same courage that I go out every day and serve you and the rest of the citizens of Chelan County with.
You got your job back.
I got my job back. I went back to work, and I didn't file a lawsuit. I just went back to work. I did not file my lawsuit until I had no other options.
What was it that forced you to take that move? Because even your lawyer might have told you it was going to be trouble.
I had received, when I came back to work, I expected I didn't expect a warm welcome. You know, I had fought for 30 months to come back. I met a lot of brick walls. Right before arbitration, the county offered me $50,000 not to go to arbitration. I believe arbitration ended up costing them that anyways. Plus, they had to pay my 30 months of back pay, benefits. They had to pay interest on that. I believe the offer was $50,000 and a letter of recommendation from Sheriff Brian Burnett to go someplace else. So my second offer to just disappear and go away. I looked at the arbitrator attorney and my guild president and said, get in there and tell my story. If you get in there and tell my story and at the end of the day I still don't have a job, then so be it. But I don't believe that you're going to tell my story and I'm not going to have a job. And the arbitrator put me back to work.
What legal advice did you get from your counsel about what this might mean for your career? You probably knew, but what did he tell you, or she?
I was told I would be ostracized. I was told that it would be an uphill battle for me to reintegrate myself. When I hired back on, and this was also part of testimony, the sheriff told me that my success was in my hands.
And? Your evaluations have been what?
My evaluations have been phenomenal. I was nominated for Deputy of the Year, I believe, in 2015 by my Sergeant Jeff Middleton. Those who work with me get along with me. Those who work with me believe in me. And, you know, trying to navigate waters of rumors, stories, half-truths, you know, those are difficult to do, but if I ever get a chance to face-to-face, if I ever get a chance for someone to go on a call with me, to actually work with me, I soon turn them into a friend.
You think you have more trouble with employees that don't know you than those who work with you?
I have had one specific employee make repetitive complaints against me, and I don't believe I've ever worked a single shift with him.
And those complaints result in what?
A lot of internal investigations that go nowhere.
Are you a fighter? Always been a fighter?
I don't consider myself that. I think more than anything, if you tell me I can't, I'm going to show you I can. I'm the first female deputy in two counties in the history of Oklahoma. And that kind of started as just kind of a funny joke of a chief that I worked for that told me there would never be a woman on the streets of Clinton. Well, I went back as being the first female on payroll for the sheriff's department there. He had passed away, unfortunately, and didn't get to see that moment.
Why did you want to get into law enforcement?
That's a beautiful story. I'll try to make it quick. I grew up fairly poor. Not fairly, but really poor. There were at times we were homeless. There were times we lived in half a trailer house when half of it had been destroyed by a tornado. My mother was a victim of domestic violence. My biological father is now serving 3 life sentences on death row in a Texas prison. And so I kind of grew up being the underdog.
You're a tough kid.
I had no choice but to be.
I understand.
My mother went to work for a little local sheriff's department when I was 10 years old. She remarried when I was 13. My stepfather is now 74 years old and still a sitting police chief in Oklahoma.
So that was your inspiration?
I liked it, yes.
And were you good at it?
I'm very good at it.
Because it's tough being a deputy anywhere, but it's tough being a female deputy, like a Friday night situation. Things can get kind of weird.
You know, I enjoy being a woman. I always kind of tease and say I don't come out here to try to be a man. I enjoy being a woman. If you know me or have ever met me, I like lipstick and mascara. I embrace the femininity, if that's not a word. I embrace my feminine side. I embrace all women that either way in law enforcement, but oftentimes you have this draw or this feel or this need that you have to be like a man, act like a man, speak like a man. I don't. I think that it is good to show young women, other women, victims, that it's okay to be a woman and still be able to operate firearms, vehicles, you know, wear the gear and do the job. And I do it well, Michael. No, none of my evals have anything ever to do about my job. That what comes into question sometimes is you know, a diversity of personalities or characters.
I'm sure, but the department's got to be full of personalities and characters. Must be full of them.
It should be. It's supposed to be. Do you want your, you know, your local law enforcement being all of the same? You know, or do you want someone to come to a call who understands where you come from, who understands where you've been, who I've been hurt. I've been, you know, the target of bad things. And I know that it's not always the way that it seems when you first get there, and you have to dig and peel apart those layers. And I believe that I have more of an understanding than some. You know, I think law enforcement as a whole in this valley, we're really good at our jobs.
You were dismissed. You got your job back after a court case.
Yeah.
Did that pretty much damn you in terms of the work that you want to do versus the view that your deputies have of you?
Every law enforcement officer has a dream of where they want their career to go, the legacy that they want to leave behind. When I Googled my name for the first time, and the first story that come up was the Oklahoma trial of deputy testifies against sheriff. You know, it was hard to read. It was hard to see. And now when I Google my name, it's, you know, Deputy Jennifer Tyler wins $500,000 in a civil lawsuit. You know, the legacy that you want to leave behind as a law enforcement officer is much different than what mine has ended up. You know, can I change that? Absolutely. Do I have an opportunity to change that for myself now? You dang right. And I'm going to try to do that for myself. You know, no one wants to go down in their legacy with those things. But the more I see it, the more I read it, the more I realize that it does show my strength and determination, I'm okay with it.
Let's see if we can find out what's next for Deputy Jennifer Tyler right after these words.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com. The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
12:37, my very special guest is Jennifer Tyler, Chelan County Sheriff Deputy, and I would say embattled employee of the Sheriff's Department, the way it looks from the outside looking in. By the way, just so you know, Deputy, the Sheriff is going to be my guest next Monday, and we'll discuss this matter with him. He's a regular guest on the show, and I just wanted you to know that we're offering him equal time.
As you should.
As we should. Now, let's talk about what you want next for yourself and your career and what you want for you and your family and your own personal career happiness.
Well, we just finished up a 7-day lawsuit, as you know. The local media covered that well. There was an award given of $500,000. You know, you would think that that would fix it. You would think that that would be, you know, a resolution to, you know, seeing greener pastures. Unfortunately,
they just want you to take your money and go.
You know, I've heard through rumor mill within the ranks that that's the word on the street, if you would say, that they would like to see me do. The purpose of the lawsuit was not the money. You know, the purpose of the lawsuit was to bring about change, change for myself or change for the next person. There's also another employee who begins a federal lawsuit in February, similar to mine. So, you know, I'm not the only one.
But you're female. Do you think this would happen to a male in the exact same situation?
It did to Sergeant Mike Harris.
What happened to him?
He was terminated and won his job back through arbitration, I believe, in 2012.
What set that?
Or no, I'm sorry, 2014, maybe. I'm not sure.
One other element of your story that I find fascinating is you ran for sheriff as a write-in candidate at the last possible moment. Why did you do that?
Well, I was in Kashmir eating, or at a milepost 111, and I get a text message from a local businessman while I'm sitting there that said, "Hey, I wrote your name in for sheriff," and you know, it touched me. It touched me immensely. The local support that I have had through the process, not just through the trial, but through being terminated, back in 2010, through the arbitration, through, even through this trial, the local support has been phenomenal. You know, I lost my job. I had to feed my family on $513 a week on unemployment, plus my husband's salary, which wasn't much more after earning, you know, a nice salary with the sheriff's department. And so I had the local community. They would donate things to us, donate food, donate supplies for us to have a yard sale. I sold baskets on the street corner trying to earn money. I remember running into county employees, and they didn't even recognize me because my hair had grown back to its natural color because I wasn't going to go spend money at a salon. So the local community support has just been overwhelming. You know, this is where I'm rooted, and this is where I'm going to stay.
What do you want to say to the people that you serve, and what do you want to say to your comrades in the sheriff's department about your future?
I'm honored to serve this community. You know, if you've never been any place else, you probably don't really appreciate where you are here. And I've been many place else's. I kind of tease that I'm where you can watch your dog run away for 2 weeks because it's so flat. I'd never seen a place like Wenatchee. I'd never been to a place like Chelan County until I came here, and I am still in awe, and I've been here 12 years. I chose to be here. I want to be here. I have fought to stay here. So after I got that text, I thought, I'd like for his one vote to count. I'd like for him to know how much I appreciate him. And so I made a phone call to Skip Moore's office at the auditor's office and said, "What do I got to do?" And she said, "Well, the rules changed in June." And she said, "You had to have done this 18 days prior to the election for it to count as a write-in. However, you can come in and pay the $1,077.29 and you can be a candidate." And I thought about it overnight. I prayed about it a little bit. And I thought, you know, it's worth it. It's worth it to show people, because after I had said that this one person had wrote me in, I made some phone calls to kind of get some other ideas, and those people said, "We wrote you in too, Jennifer."
Did you think that was going to help you in your ongoing effort to try and be more welcomed at work?
You know, what I did think it would help with is, you know, I won't know until the 21st whether or not I've secured the 1%. And the more I think about what this could mean for myself, my community, is one, no more lawsuits. You know, my lawsuit alone, my attorney fees were $900,000. I think they were reduced by 20%. I didn't have to pay any of that. My suit was $500,000. The arbitration was roughly $50,000. The 7 internal investigations, the overtime money. I mean, it's astronomical, Michael, the amount of money being spent. You know, the time being spent. And unfortunately, because of what's going on now, there's more of the same coming because it's not stopping.
You think that you'll have to sue again?
that's inevitable. It's what choices do I have other than this? This is an option. This is a choice. This is doable for me. Being the sheriff means I can change things. It means I can change the course of the pattern of the way the employee issues are dealt with. We can't keep paying this kind of money out for nonsense, for secret barbecues, you know, for allegations of making statements untruthful about our search and rescue team having secret barbecues was part of what that internal investigation that took 90 days to conclude.
What do you say to your fellow deputies out there that maybe know you and like you, maybe never worked with you, have no idea who you are, maybe don't like you at all? Dear deputy.
What do I have to say to them?
Well, they're your workmates. They're the people that you're going to rely on.
Brothers and my sisters, regardless. Regardless of any kind of personal feelings, animosity, whatever else. They're my brothers and sisters. And I signed on to this to have brothers and sisters, to have community, and for us to serve them. And how can we rightfully serve and respectfully serve and properly serve when our own in-house is in such disarray? You know, the disarray within the in-house has to be corrected, and that starts from the top. You know, regardless, you're not even going to have a household of five children that get along all the time or even like each other. You know, often siblings, you know, are the worst, you know, together, but you have to, the laws are the same. It's employment law, and employees have to be treated equally. Discipline has to be even-handed. How can it be even-handed when I alone have had seven internal investigations and proven in a seven-day jury trial in my own backyard that it's not even-handed, that it's not fair, that it's unjust, and nothing's changing. Nothing's fixing that problem. How do I fix it? Maybe I be the sheriff. What other options do I have? Four more years of this? I can't do this for four more years.
What if there is no other alternative? Would you resign?
Never.
So you'd be dismissed again?
That would be up to the sheriff.
Well, you said you can't do it for four more years. How would that end?
Meaning that just keep trying to do something different to change it. I mean, would you want to work under conditions that were unfair?
No.
Often people do. Often people work in an environment that is not ideal. And our law enforcement, it should be. We should not have these in-house problems. We should be able to resolve them ourselves and not have to take them before a jury.
Do deputies all over the country that work for their own sheriff's department have these same problems? In other words, do they know there's a thin blue line and an unwritten rule or an unspoken rule that they have to adhere to whether they want to or not?
You know, I can't speak for all those people. I can only speak for myself and my own
Your own experience is pretty dreadful.
You know, part of my testimony at trial was that I knew the risks. You know, I knew the risks. I knew the challenges for women in law enforcement. I'm willing to accept those challenges to do what I love. Some things you overlook, some things you just ignore, some things you learn to work with and cope with. This county needs women like me. This woman needs this county. And you know, how do you choose to say, I don't want to do that anymore? What do I go do after this? You know, I heard Harvey Jezdal on your show as he's talking about his retirement and the end of his career as a lawman and how difficult that is and how, you know, how this is part of your fiber of your being. You know, I'm more than likely unhirable anyplace else, you know, to take on a woman who has sued, even though been successful. I still have a sheriff that says he doesn't agree with the Douglas County jury.
What did he disagree with? What element of their decision?
He didn't elaborate to me. I've not spoken with Sheriff Burnett in regards to anything outside of my award for being nominated for Deputy of the Year, in 2015. I have not had a conversation with Sheriff Brian Burnett since August of 2013. So you'd have to ask him next week on your show.
I'll ask him on Monday. What's next for you? When's the next time you're behind the wheel of your sheriff's cruiser?
My 12-hour shift begins at 1800 today.
And where will you be?
I don't honestly know. My shift every day has become sporadic. I don't know what my assignment is from day to day until I get there.
Is that uncommon?
Very.
So that's just for you, you think?
Absolutely.
To keep you unaware of what your responsibilities are?
Again, you'd have to ask the sheriff as to why it's being done that way.
What happens when you're in trouble and you need backup?
You know, part of testimony at trial initially coming back was difficult. You know, I have fortunately reintegrated myself amongst many of the ranks. I get along really, really, really well with my patrol partners now, and we work really well together.
And that's all you want, just to keep the job and go about your business as before?
I want what everybody wants in a work environment, especially in a law enforcement work environment. You know, we're unique in a way of we depend on one another. We depend on one another for safety. We depend on one another to better serve you, communicating together to put together a case or a crime. And if we can't work together and get along, how can we serve better? And, you know, I've had to navigate those waters, not only through the trial and through the termination and through coming back. And I feel like I've done really, really well. I get along really well with my community. Any patrol partner that works with me enjoys working with me. I've kind of got a reputation of being a go-getter. I'm often, not so much lately, but in the past, you know, often top five on the department for activity arrests and such.
Do you think you'll be able to finish your career here, given everything that you've learned and everything that you've been through?
I'm determined to, sir.
Okay. I'll take that as your last answer. I'm sorry we don't have more time to discuss this. And I invite you to listen next Monday to your boss, the Sheriff Brian Burnett, as he'll be our guest at that time. That is the voice of Jennifer Tyler. She is the Chelan County Sheriff's Deputy, and many other things as well. But certainly she's in the uniform and will be so at 1800 hours today.